Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Welcome back to episode number 215 now of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Tim Whitehead. He's the director of Galcom Communications and Impact Radio, and we are going to be talking with him about the solar-powered radios that his organization is distributing into the remotest regions of the earth, that the Word of God is getting out there, and the people groups that have never heard the gospel in their language before. This is awesome. And we're going to be jumping right back into this. If you missed yesterday's episode, go back and listen to it and get caught up. But we're going to, you know, rewind it just a little bit to get you caught up. And now we're jumping right back into the interview with Tim Whitehead. Tell me about these solar-powered radios. You know, I understand the solar power part, but how is it that they're just locked on to your frequency? I mean, where does the antennas come from to broadcast the
absolutely radio? So as I mentioned, when we first started, it was to answer the problem of nobody owned radios in areas where there was a Christian broadcast. So we would fix tune them to the HCJB broadcast in Quito, Ecuador, or the Transworld Radio 1 in Swaziland. And their station, the radios would be just locked onto their station alone. People couldn't change the station. So people who didn't have a religious appetite yet that would want to listen to the rock or the propaganda from the government, or whatever else, they couldn't change it. And those that needed the gospel, it was right there for them. So that's what it started with. And then we started having requests for people in minority language groups, ones that these big shortwave stations weren't really dealing with, because, I mean, Far East Broadcasting is covering China and Russia, so they're doing Mandarin and Russian, and not a lot of the small languages. So we got into the business of building little low-powered FM stations all over the world, down in Haiti, over in Tanzania, and in Kenya, up in Greenland, Mongolia, down in Latin America, all through Colombia and Bolivia and all these places. And then the radios would be tuned to that local FM station. And so that FM station covering maybe a 50-mile radius would then be able to hand out the radios. And that one missionary who used to take months to visit each village was now talking to every village every day. And that's why we talk about multiplying their impact. Instead of one person talking to one person, it's one person talking to hundreds, you know, ear to ear through the radio.
That's amazing. Now, and they're all like in their local dialect, right?
Exactly. Everything we do is through partnerships. We love partnering with the local pastor who grew up in the area. So he knows the culture, he knows the context, the right way to present the gospel, and he knows the language. Yeah. That's what we try to work with. And when there's areas where there aren't believers, it's that missionary that we work with. We're happy to work with the missionaries too, but it always has to be that local language.
So is this radio station you set up, is it, you know, like we would think of a radio station here, it's a live broadcast type thing, or is it recorded and then a computer is playing the radio?
Both. A lot of the pastors and people we're working with, they're doing clinics, schools, you know, Bible translation. They're doing all this other work. We don't want to chain them to the desk, so to speak, where they have to be live all the time. So we train them how to do some pre-recorded stuff. We help them get music, and we use an auto player like a Zara or other automation software, so things can be programmed in, and so they can set the radio station talking to everybody, and they can go out and do what they regularly do. But most of them that we deal with do still have a live component. My favorite is in Indonesia. The last hour of the day is kind of a text in prayer request program. Mm. And so they're responding back live with people right then and there.
Are these stations on just so many hours a day, or is it 24 hours a day, or a little bit of both?
Little bit of both again. These guys in Indonesia, a lot of the stations we put in are using exclusively powered by solar panels. And so they're on only 10 hours a day when it's daylight, when it charges the batteries. They don't want to go through the night. Others are in a little bit more urban centers, so they're going 24 hours a day.
Oh, that's amazing. And the radios you distribute, where are they coming from now?
We make all these radios in a little factory, little shop in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. It's about an hour west of Buffalo. If you're listening, and I'm trying to think of if you're thinking of Toronto, if you're listening internationally, you know where Toronto is. We're about an hour south of Toronto on the other side of the lake. Mostly made by volunteers. A lot of retired folk come in once or twice a week. A lot of guys, and this is the great part, a lot of guys that said they could never be missionaries. They're not going to get up in front of a crowd and speak. They're not going to be doing Bible translation or preaching. These guys are retired electricians. We have one guy that's a retired small appliance repairman from Sears. Comes in twice a week. This guy is gold. I mean, you can't get someone who's more qualified to put together a little radio, soldering the antenna wires and speakers onto the circuit board, clicking it all together. I mean, there's just nothing the guy can't do. So these are our missionaries helping us make the radios.
Amen. Everybody's contributing. And the radio distribution. I have to go into this because I seen on your website, it looked like a bomber with dropping. Tell us about that picture and what it's all about.
All right. Just full disclosure. Most of the radios are handed out face to face. We go, I take teams down to Haiti and we go house to house. We present the gospel. We share our testimony. We give them a radio because long after we leave, we still want to leave the witness behind. Yeah. But there are areas in the world that it's almost impossible to get to. So there's two that we've done these what we call radio drops. The first was in Mexico up in the Sierra Madre Mountains. A missionary there, Jerry Witt, was flying from one village to another and he saw this village at the top of a mountain. He thought, who are those people? Where are they? They landed. He says, how do I get up to these people? It was a Tipiwan Indian village. They had fled up there during the time of the conquistadors back 500 years ago, and they were hiding. And so there's no roads, there's donkey trails. And he thought, how do I get them the gospel? And so he came up with this crazy idea to get these little mini parachutes made about a foot in diameter and tie them to a box, put the radio inside, turn the radio on first, and he'd fly over these villages and drop the radios right on top of them. And then they'd get this box with this little radio speaking in Tipiwan and in Spanish. They'd hear the gospel in their own language. He had people coming out of the hills to meet who this Jesus is. Tell us more. Just incredible. Here's the real crazy one. A missionary in Colombia. He was a missionary kid. His parents were Wycliffe missionaries. His name's Russell Stendhal. And when he was in his 20s, he was kidnapped by the communist Marxist rebel group, the FARC. 150 days, beaten, tortured, dragged through the jungle. Finally, the family paid the $50,000 ransom, got him freed. He thought, man, he didn't want vengeance. He didn't want even justice. He said, these guys were in worse shape than I was. Even though I was a captive, they're the ones who are captive in their sin. I need to tell them about Jesus. But how do I do it? If I go in the jungle, they're going to kill me. So he set up a radio station, started broadcasting. But he thought, how do I know if they're going to listen? Found out about the ministry of Galcom, about our little radios. Fixed tuned again. These guys are atheists, militant atheists. They don't want to listen to the gospel. So fixed tuned radio was great. We thought, how do I get them to him? He was a pilot. So he started flying over the rebel controlled jungle. And in the worst places, he'd put on his night vision glasses, turn off the lights on his airplane, pick up a little campfire somewhere, zoom down, drop a couple radios and fly off before they could shoot him. Literally. His plane now, the Pink Panther, is retired. It's at the Voice of the Martyrs Museum in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, because it couldn't fly it anymore. But this is the people that there's such a passion to get people the word of God. They're flying in through canyons in Mexico and over jungles of Colombia to deliver the word of God.
My goodness. Hallelujah. That is just awesome. Now, you mentioned something about, first, when Galcom got started, okay, you said you took it over. So how did it actually get started?
Okay, so as I said, Alan McGraw was up amongst the Luwai tribe in Kenya and had this vision. And so he made this prototype. But the ministry he was working for at the time said, we don't know anything about radio. Just put it away, Alan. We don't want to do that. And he sat there with this vision from God thinking, now what do I do with this radio? In the same time, Harold Kent, this businessman down in Florida, had heard this presentation about World by 2000. And his response was, what a dumb idea. Nobody owns a shortwave radio. Sure, FM and AM in your car, but nobody owns a shortwave. And God spoke to him and said, well, then Harold, you give them the radios. Because in Africa, South America, these places, shortwave is incredibly useful, viable, great tool. Closed countries at the time. Of communism, China, Russia, close to missionaries.
Yeah.
FEBC was broadcasting into these countries and you can't stop the signal.
Right. And so, shortwave, though, is very expensive to do, though, isn't it?
It is. And so these big ministries were spending, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars powering these stations because they're hundreds of thousands of watts that they're broadcasting in. Mm-hmm. And so Harold was given this vision. And so Harold's thinking, now what do I do? So he started trying to investigate who can make a shortwave radio for me that you know, God's calling on my life to give out shortwave radios to people. Well, he went to a businessman's lunch, a Christian businessman's lunch, about how to do business as mission. And Ken Crowell, who wanted to be a missionary to Israel, but you may not know this, you can't go to Israel as a missionary.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they love Christians to come over and spend all the money on tourism, but don't come over and tell them Jesus is Messiah.
Yeah.
And so he went over there and thought, how do I, you know, continue on living in Israel? So being a Motorola engineer, he set up a factory. He knew cell phones, okay. So he started making cell phone antennas. So he's speaking at this little conference in Tampa, Florida, Christian businessman, how to run your business as a ministry. And Harold's there. And Harold goes, you know what? This is a good talk, but I want to talk to this guy about his factory. So he comes up to him afterwards and says, hey, Ken, heard you got a factory. God's giving me this crazy idea for shortwave radios fixed tuned to Christian broadcasts. And Ken's response was, well, that's not crazy. I just read this magazine. I found it. And the story goes, no, Ken's passed away, so I didn't verify it with him. But he found a magazine in the back pocket of his airplane seat.
Huh.
A Christian missionary magazine that had an article about this crazy guy in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, who had made a prototype of a solar-powered fixed-tune radio. Huh. So he's got this magazine in one hand, and Harold says, I got this dream. And so that's how the three of them were brought together.
Wow. Pure providence. That's awesome. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Allie, now, what does GALCOM stand for?
Great question. So the COM is the simple part, communication.
Yep.
But the GAL comes from our key verse, Psalm 37:5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. The Hebrew word for commit is GAL.
Ah, okay. All right. I'll say, because I was guessing galaxy, but I said, probably wouldn't make sense. But yeah, okay. Amen. Amen. Now, you mentioned something about Greenland.
Yes. You
know, tell us about Greenland.
Well, Greenland's a really exciting place for us. And just to kind of give you an idea of what it's like. So most of us have the view of Greenland just rock and ice. And 90% of this is true. But there are 50 to 60,000 people that live all up and down along the coast. Most of it on the west coast. The east is pretty harsh there on the Atlantic. Fishing villages. But the terrain is so tough and so rugged, there aren't even roads joining most of the towns.
Wow.
It was a Danish colony, so it had some Lutheran roots, but for the most part, it's unreached people group, less than 2% Christian. We got in touch with a pastor there by the name of John Nielsen, a missionary from Denmark, and he had a church in the capital, Nuuk, N-U-U-K, not W, U-U-K. And it's a good church, a healthy church, and he would travel up and down the coast once a year doing evangelism meetings, revival meetings, and really wasn't getting anywhere. He'd plant a church in Paumute or somewhere like that. Iqaluit, that's in Canada. Anyways, these other little Greenlandish towns. And there'd be five or six believers. But if you only see your pastor once a year, how are you ever going to grow in your faith? And they weren't trained. Not a lot of them could read. High alcoholism rates, youth suicide was prevalent. You get the seasonal affective disorder with it being dark for so long. Yeah. And he thought, how do I reach these people in all these other towns? We got connected with him through a mission conference in Vancouver. We set up the first radio station in his church, right in the church building, built a little studio in the back of the church, put a pole up outside, a big, you know, just a 3-inch drain pipe with an antenna on the top outside of his church. And he was broadcasting to Nuuk. And they were just at the same time laying high-speed internet to join the whole country. And we thought, what a perfect opportunity to do repeater stations. So about 3 years later, we went up there with a team. We put in 4 repeater stations in the next 4 largest towns, all connected by internet. And then again, just a pole and an antenna on the top outside of someone's home, outside of another small little church building. And now that whole town was then covered with regular traditional FM terrestrial radio. Funny story. A father and son team from Ottawa went up there to put a station in, and a lady knocked on the door. She says, I've heard a rumor that there's a Christian station going to be here. How do I listen to it? They said, well, we're not on the air yet. We're just putting everything in. But when it's ready, just tune your radio to 88.3 and you can listen. Okay, thank you. And off she goes. Hour later, they're just getting it all tuned up. Knock, knock, knock. She's back at the door. Well, how do I listen to the station? Well, we're not on the air yet. Just, you know, we'll get there. Leaves again. They explained, you know, just tune your radio. They get the radio station up. They're getting the feed in from Nuuk. Everything's working great. Knock, knock, knock. Everyone's talking about the radio station. How do I listen to the radio station? Well, just tune it in. 88.3 on your radio. Well, how do I do that? What do you mean? Hmm. Well, there's only one station in Greenland, the government station. No one had ever changed the dial on their radio.
Oh, my goodness.
She didn't know how to tune it in. So off to their house they go, tune it over the radio. And now that, then that whole village, that whole town was listening to the gospel. A year later, we sent up another group of people. We put in 7 more stations. And then just this past August, we put in a 13th repeater station. We're covering 99% of the country. Pastor John is able to reach almost the entire country every day in Greenlandish with the gospel.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. They had the radio stations, the only station that they've never had to change the dial. And people didn't even know how to do that. That is amazing.
And here's something too. And for us in North America, thinking about governments and church, their programming is so good. The Greenland government is actually buying programs from Pastor John to air on their station.
Really?
Could you imagine your radio station being funded by the government?
Yeah. That's outstanding. That's definitely that's a work of God there. And you said that this year you're looking at being able to distribute 80,000 of these little handheld radios.
Yeah, this is a really important story. So generally, we do about 40,000 radios and audio Bibles that we ship around the world. A lot of them go to South Sudan because, again, a large rural community, high illiteracy rates. So radio makes a lot of sense there. Bolivia amongst the Quechua, Haiti, Mongolia, Cambodia, a lot of places where there's not a lot of technology and low literacy rates is really where we focus. And we're only limited by our funding. We mm-hmm. fund the radios. The larger ministries that we work with, they support some of the work so that when they hand the radios, they can give them to free to the end listeners. But we're always limited by finances. Well, in March of this year, we had plans for about 40,000 radios to make through the year. We kind of budgeted out and try to share the radios to the different ministries. We got a call from our partner ministry in South Sudan, and they had ordered 12,000 radios that they wanted shipped kind of quarterly to, you know, coordinate mm-hmm. with distribution events around the country. And I got a call and they said, Tim, I don't know if you've heard that in the news, but Sudan's falling apart. There's anarchy. It's beyond civil war. People by the hundreds of thousands have fled to refugee camps in Uganda. The two main tribes, the Dinka and the Nuer, are fighting and everyone's getting sucked in. It's awful. But where we are working, there is relative peace. Where we're preaching the gospel, it's working. And the government has encouraged us to do more. So they're going to try to put in a fourth radio station. But they said, our board has got together and raised an extra $200,000. Can we get the 12,000 radios that we want by the end of the year by June, plus 3,000 more, and then 20,000 more by November?
Wow.
And I thought, God, there's such a need. We can't say no. We have to help. And I just heard a speaker with a ministry called Alarm, African Leadership Reconciliation Ministry, who had witnessed firsthand the genocides in Rwanda, and he saw the same things happening in South Sudan, was calling the mission agencies to do something. And I thought, God, you've obviously been prepping me for this.
Yeah.
So we said yes. We didn't have the money to do it. And I remember still sitting at my desk with spreadsheets and budgets thinking, God, I'm going to bankrupt Galcom because I've made this promise to make these radios. I don't know where the money's going to come from. And I was actually preparing a sermon for the following Sunday. I was preaching a little church. And whenever I'm at a church the first time, I like to tie in Psalm 37:5 to explain what the name Galcom means. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he'll bring it to pass. 2 verses later, Psalm 37:7, it says, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him, do not fret. Mm-hmm. And I read that verse, and then I kind of pushed my Bible away from me on my desk and I started working on all the numbers and I was fretting. I was worried.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't believe this, but then the phone rang and a gentleman on the other end who had donated maybe once or twice to the ministry said, Tim, we just sold our family farm, big corporate farm out west. Could you use $100,000?
Amen.
I just about fell off my chair. I said, you wouldn't believe it. You're an absolute answer to prayer, a messenger from God. Like, this is incredible. And that's how we were able to do it. So this year, we're going to send 40,000 radios to South Sudan alone, and then another 40,000 to Cambodia, Mongolia, Kyrgyzstan, Thailand, Haiti, Bolivia. Where else are we going? Nigeria. I can't think of all the countries. Moldova. Anyway, on and on and on it goes. Tanzania. So it's amazing how God has provided for us this year.
Amen. Do you have any distribution channels in Islamic countries, you know, like Pakistan, Afghanistan, all that?
Yes.
I won't go into detail because of, you know, obvious security reasons.
But. Yeah, I was just a funny story. I was talking to one of the ladies who's our contact at the U.S. Office of one of these ministries that we're working with. And I said to her, how are you guys getting them in? We ship them to Germany. And I said, how are you getting them into the country? And she says, well, the people on the ground, I don't ask them. They don't tell me, but please send more. They love them.
Man, with our radio station, Evangelism Radio, I noticed about 5-6 years ago that almost a third of our listenership comes from Islamic countries. And you know, I was watching these stats, and I, in prayer one day, I was asking Lord, I said, you know, show me what this is about, you know, because about that time you heard, hey, be careful on the internet because, you know, you might get targeted and stuff like that. And the Lord showed me, he said, no, he said, they're doing what they have to do to survive in the environment they're in. But when they get behind closed doors in the evening and they type in, you know, gospel or Christian gospel, say your radio station pops up and that's where they're getting fed the word.
There is a great hunger, for the word of God, a great hunger to know Jesus Christ, to know purpose, and he's the only answer. So that's what they're finding. And we're working with people that are doing terrestrial radio, the shortwave radio, the big ministries are still targeting the Middle East and the Islamic world with Christian broadcast through shortwave, but they're doing a lot of more creative things. They're doing internet, they're doing podcasts.
Yeah.
And it's phenomenal what God is doing. There's you know, unsubstantiated reports, but a lot of reports coming from missions working in Iran, that Iran after China is the fastest growing church in the world.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Because, I mean, it wasn't but, 40 years ago that Iran was one of the westernized Islamic nations.
It was. It was a modern nation, and then it just turned with the...
76.
Yeah.
77. Yeah. Yep. Amen. Now, you need people to go and install these radio stations and to, you know, fix them and things like that. You know, I know you need volunteers. What are the different job opportunities for volunteers to go on these trips?
All right, I'll start with the least qualified like me. As I said, I'm just an accountant. I'm not a technician. It's kind of funny that I'm leading this technology mission. So we have a lot of teams doing distribution. So this next year, I'm taking two teams to Haiti. We got a team going down to Guatemala. Our U.S. director, Tom Blackstone, out of our Tampa office, he's heading down to Belize a couple times, into Mexico. And so all you need is to have a testimony. You need to be able to communicate what God has done in your life to somebody else through a translator, be able to present the gospel simply and contextually. In Haiti, there's a very specific way they want us to present the gospel, because in Haiti, everybody believes in God, but nobody understands that he's Lord. And so they want to make sure we do this properly, so that the mission teams we work with are really good at that. And then we want to hand them a device so that long after we leave, they can still hear the gospel. And you might think, oh, that, why would I spend all this money? I was just talking to Tom Blackstone. They just got back from Belize, actually. And one of the guys that went on the trip had come out of a background of alcohol and drug abuse. And God used his testimony powerfully amongst people that needed to hear that specific message. And I've seen this time and time again, as we've met with someone in Haiti specifically, where I've gone 5 or 6 times, the person who shares their testimony, the person listening in Haiti relates to it. A broken marriage, children abandoning them, you know, a lost loved one, a parent that died young and orphaned. And it's like God uses this, and God wants to use our successes, failures, experiences. And so that's all you need, the ability to communicate what God has done in your life to somebody and the willingness to go. At the higher end, we're always looking for guys that are engineers, radio techs, retired electricity workers, and that are willing to climb a tower. My favorite story was at a mission conference out in Murrieta Springs, California, Calvary Chapel. And I sat down across from a couple at lunch and said, hey, are you enjoying the conference? And the wife, Brenda, was saying, yeah, this is great. We're looking at retirement, what God wants us to do in the future. And her husband, Bob, was kind of playing in the salad and just like, you know, not happy. And I said, what about you, Bob? And he says, I don't know why I'm here, because I don't speak. I don't like kids. I'm not going to get in front of a crowd. I said, well, what do you do? He says, I work for Time Warner. I said, doing what? He goes, I'm a technician. I go, so what do you do? Yeah, I run cable and I do this. And I said, Bob, you're here to meet me. And he's now gone to Tanzania, Albania, Turks and Caicos. He just repaired a station in Turks and Caicos that was destroyed by the hurricanes. He was just down there hanging new antennas. So that's the kind of guys we want, that can do some tower climbing, run some cable, understand the technology. We'll send a technician along, or one of our other volunteer kind of guys that have been with us several times now, so you're not out on your own traveling. Mm-hmm. There's an experienced traveler with you. But we're looking for all those kind of guys. And it's amazing. Retired IT guys are great, setting up the studio stuff. It's all digital now. So love for people to get in touch with us that are willing to just use their gifts and abilities.
Amen. Well, if someone did want to get in touch with you, how can they go about doing that?
the best way to check us out first, check us our website, galcom.org, galcom.org. The general email box is just simply galcom@galcom.org. And you can phone us, real simple, 877-2-GALCOM. And we have a couple, Alan, Shelley, Wyatt. They handle all of our volunteers, and they will give you all the details of what's coming up, what's on the horizon, and how to get involved, what you need to do with your passport, your shots, fundraising, the costs, all those details. We've got them ready to go for all of our trips coming up. So it's galcom@galcom.org, G-A-L-C-O-M, or 877-2-GALCOM. Just type that out on your phone.
Amen. Amen. Well, appreciate you, Tim, taking the time out of your busy schedule to visit with us today. And you know, I appreciate you being part of the Evangelism Radio broadcast family. And you're doing a mighty, mighty work for God. Amen. It just, you know, folks, you need to go on their website and support these outreaches. You can see the different needs that are there on their website and become a supporter. You know, send your missionary offerings, send, you know, whatever you can do. You heard the story. Let's get the word out into the hands of the people. I mean, that's the whole, I mean, our ministry mission statement is get the word out, and
amen,
we do it whatever way we can. So Tim, I just thank you for doing that and obeying the Lord to take over that ministry, and praise God. I mean, you're growing that thing. 80,000 radios will be destroyed. That's man, I can't even fathom what that would look like in the warehouse.
I'll send you a picture.
Amen. Well, folks, we're all out of time. It's been a great interview. Again, go to galcom.org and send an offering. Support this outreach. This is, especially this time of year, I mean, you need to do this. And, you know, Tim, we appreciate you. I hope to have you back on again, you know, once you are in the process of distributing those things. Tell us how it's going.
I'll tell you what, when I get back from Haiti, I'll give you a shout and we'll talk again.
Yeah, that'll work. Okay. Folks, that's all the time we have for Tim Whitehead and myself. This is Pastor Bob reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.